Welcome to the Lubar Executive Education Podcast. In this episode, we'll be talking about taking sovereignty over your health so you and your team can ascend to new heights. With me today is Julian Hayes II. Julian is the founder of Executive Health, an organization that helps forward-thinking CEOs, executives, entrepreneurs, and companies optimize their performance, operate with a competitive edge, increase their resiliency, lead more effectively, and live longer and better with precision in today's dynamic business environment. Julian is an accomplished author with over 300 published articles that could be found on Entrepreneur, Success, Chief Executive, Inc.com, and many more. He's also the host of the Executive Health and Life podcast. Welcome, Julian. It's great to have you here with me today.
Mike, it is so good to be here, to be talking and everything. I'm excited to be here, excited to talk about this topic. Grateful to be here.
Me too. So let's dive right in. Can you talk a little bit about your leadership journey and your story and how you got into helping leaders in their organizations?
Yeah, the funny thing about leadership is that I think for me, I've never really saw myself as a leader for a lot of times. And it wasn't really until talking to with one of my mentors where he's like, you know, you're a leader as well. Well, I was like, well, I don't have 1,000 employees or nothing like that. Well, he's like, do you go exercise every day? Do you read every day? Do you have certain other disciplines? I was like, yes, I do those things. He's like, well, you're a leader, because the first thing that leaders often forget is that the most important person to lead is yourself. So before you can even lead even a family, you have to be able to lead yourself. And since that day, I've been a little more comfortable saying, oh, okay, I am a leader. And then as things go along now, that's starting to transfer externally a little more. But probably a big impetus in my journey was when I was in medical school. And I had no things about going into business. That was the last thing on my mind. It was really just being a doctor. And I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, and I went to New York City. So quite the difference of people, speed, every single thing across the board. So when I'm in New York, I run into so many different people. It's different entrepreneurs sometimes. It's even different business people that work in different companies, even some actors and musicians. All these people had big dreams. They want to win an Oscar. They want the next unicorn. They want to get to the C-suite, all these things. And for me, I didn't have that passion, that fire. You know, school was very easy. You show up, take a test, you do well. And pretty much at the end of the journey, I know I'm going to get the job. And so there wasn't much to it, but I didn't have that fulfillment. And the more and more I kept living up there, the more and more that kept building up inside of me, and I couldn't ignore it. So at the end of my first year, I decided just not to go back, decided to just get into health. That's what I know. Of course, it started with personal training, but it started to evolve. As I started to evolve, the business had to evolve as well. And I started to see a big picture. When you're 25, 26, a lot of times you want to look good for very external, superficial reasons. That's it. But then as you start to get into your 30s, you start to see the big picture. You start to have a little more legacy in mind. And then when you get into the business world, you start to see, man, my energy wasn't good today. My performance wasn't good at work today neither. Or I'm a little snappy with everyone around me. I wonder why this is. And you start to have all these breadcrumbs and you start to see that, oh, wait a minute. My health is really tied to the way I show up every day at work. And one thing led to another, different dinners, different talks. And I just started to piece all this together and form Executive Health. And Executive Health, on the surface, of course, it's for executives and leaders, but really there's another meaning that's actually more important to me. And it's really about becoming the CEO of your health and life and taking that personal control and sovereignty over your health and life and not giving away that external power that a lot of times I think we do.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that story and some of the background there. I really love the concept of becoming the CEO of your life. I've never heard anybody talk about it like that. And that's why I'm glad we're talking today. I also really appreciate that you talk about leadership existing at all levels, and everybody can be a leader. It's not just about the formal title or your position within an organization. So as you have been working with leaders and people in general that maybe are struggling a little bit with health and resilience these days, what have you seen? And I guess, are there any common threads here as to why so many leaders are struggling with health and resiliency?
Yes. And we can go ahead and cross one off the list. And a lot of times it's, somebody will say it's negligence, direct negligence, or knowingly negligence, or just laziness. And I can promise you this 100%. And there's not too many absolutes in the world. But in this case, it is never a case of just sheer laziness or lack of just motivation. It's so many other things. So I don't have to ever tell someone, hey, you should really get off the couch and just go walk around the neighborhood. That's the last thing. In this scenario, when you're a leader and at different levels, there's going to be different things that are at the top of your mind. So maybe if you're on the rise up and you're aiming for a C-level position, that's a different scenario than say someone who's already at the C-level. But in both scenarios, you have something that can appropriately be called the success paradox or the cost of success. And what I mean by this is that as we continually pursue success, that has a level of responsibility, that has a level of demand on us. And we still have other obligations with family, perhaps, and other personal things. And we're getting pulled in all these different directions. And sometimes we get fearful of not letting go or easing up because we don't want to go back to day one because there's a lot of pain there. And so there's a little fear there. And when you have all these things added up, health unintentionally gets left to the end of the bench on accident because health is not something that is just glaring at us unless it just comes up. And I'm sure we'll talk about that later when we talk about the mindset of leaders. But this is kind of just the whole big picture of this success paradox is that the more responsibilities, the more demands that are placed on you, the more that's being pulled from you. And a lot of times, leaders, we're quite benevolent people. We're very giving. We're serving people. That's why we're in this. So this is just natural for us to pour ourselves into other people. And long term is only when we notice that, oh, wait a minute, I need to pour something into myself. I'm feeling quite drained.
Great points on all fronts there. When I think about the mindset of leaders, as you get higher and higher, it's obviously more demanding and more stressful and such. You've got a lot of other people to worry about, and coming out of COVID, even there's even more stresses. So definitely a lot to think about here.
It's a dynamic business environment and it's a pressure cooker.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. So why is prioritizing personal health really crucial for someone to be an effective leader in today's business world?
There's a couple of reasons, but the first one is I will look into health. And a lot of times, this is probably an easy portrait to think of. If pretending we have like a dam, we have this nice, beautiful dam, and maybe over time, there's a small crack in this dam. And you're just going to walk by it. Nobody's really going to notice anything. There's no water coming through. And then maybe a year passes by and there's another crack, or maybe this crack's getting a little bigger. Not too much water yet. The next year, another crack. A little water is coming through. And then all of a sudden, a huge one comes. And now water is pouring over. And this is essentially like our health is. You can even think about this from something visceral as our weight. Who notices a 1 to 2 pound gain of weight? Nobody. Do you notice 5 pounds? Probably not. Do you notice 10? Absolutely. So things have to compound for us to feel it. And a lot of times with health, it's invisible until it's not invisible, until health is an issue, until we go to the doctor and we have our blood drawn and our labs are not as good. Oh, then it's an issue. Or I just happen to put on my favorite outfit and it doesn't feel the same. Then it's an issue. My energy is not as good. All of a sudden, I just hit a wall every day and the coffees are not just doing their job. Now there's something wrong. So that's the thing with health, is just that we can go so long without it really being a focal point that we can easily put it on the back burner. And it's just like interest on a credit card that you don't pay off. It's accumulating more and more and more. The more you put it off, the bigger the issue it is, typically, that you're going to have to address down the line. And the reason why also is that when you're at a leadership position, and you'll notice as you get higher and higher up the ranks, there's less and less people that you really have to answer to. Who really keeps you accountable? That's the question there. Because, and that's a big one, because a lot of times, we like to think that we can keep ourselves accountable. We can to a certain extent, but our brains are very sophisticated. And we can do a lot of mental gymnastics in our head to convince ourselves not to do things. I know I can personally. I can convince myself a lot of days to just send the emails later. It's just,
Oh, yeah.
and you can justify things. It's so easy to justify things. Well, I've been working hard, so it's not too bad. It's not too bad. It's not that bad. So there's a lot of justifications that we can do. So not having anyone to answer to, health is a very invisible thing until it's not invisible. And those are probably the two most apparent things to me that I would just say, if I'm going to paint this in a broad spectrum, those are the two biggest things.
So taking this a little step further here and relating it more to business and goals that we're trying to achieve as leaders, how does taking sovereignty over one's health really align well with pursuing those professional goals as well as personal goals? Because sometimes, like you said, we might sidetrack our personal goals here in favor of a professional goal.
Well, I think you can get practical here and you can get a little philosophical. So philosophically, I think it leads to a more fulfilling life. Because a lot of times we think that if we get this professional accolade, we get this certain title, that life's going to be complete after that. And typically it's not. More often than it's not. I've had a couple things in life where if I just get this thing or if I just do this thing, then this is it. I'm going to be satisfied in everything. And what happens is you get that thing and then you're like, well, it wasn't what I thought. And so you want the next thing now. And it really only makes you hungrier to go get the next thing. And so I think when you combine professional and personal, it's a more fulfilling life. And especially in the post-pandemic world now, I think to me, work and life has always been together, but now it's on top of our minds now. So we're not just thinking about work for just work's sake now. We're thinking about how does it integrate with my life as well. And I think that's the difference in this post-pandemic world. And sovereignty, the aspect of that is taking full ownership and control of everything in your life and everything of your situation. When you make that commitment, which sovereignty starts with simply making a commitment, that it's all under my control. I take extreme ownership. It's a great book. It's a great leadership book. And having that perspective, I think will really take you far in terms of the personal and professional. And in this area here, I would also start to craft out a vision with the personal and professional and how these two intertwine with each other. And so more often than not, the easiest thing you can do is really have these things synergistically going together. So anytime you do planning, how does this professional journey, how does this professional aspiration, how is it going to affect my life? And really keep those things in harmony.
Yeah, I really like how you're integrating the successful principles of business management into this personal management. So you can be the CEO of your own health and your own self by, you know, casting that vision, which, you know, all organizations do, and then getting some people to help you be accountable. I was just talking with a group last week about the importance of, you know, not only setting goals, but writing them down and then finding an accountability partner. So you're sharing these goals outwardly and it's really going to help you with that success. So I love everything you're talking about here. What additional strategies can leaders implement to foster a culture of health and well-being within their organizations? We've been talking a little bit about the self up to this point. How can they kind of spread that out a little further?
Yeah, so there's a handful of things. So I've already mentioned vision, and that's where you should start, first of all. So we don't need to really cover that. But vision is a very important thing. And we do it for our business a lot of times, but we oftentimes do not do it for our health. And we oftentimes do not do it for the organization from a standpoint of the well-being culture of the organization. We can easily talk about the operational culture, but what about the well-being culture of the organization? And when you... delegation is an important thing, but that's probably more individualistic. So looking at a company-wide thing, one of the things that was a pet peeve of mine when you go to a company is you'll go there, people clap, hey, welcome, all that good stuff. And then I'm looking and I'm surveying the room. I'm like, where's leadership at? Where are they at? They're MIA. And that's very incongruent, because then what it sends to me, even if anyone in that room never said it, it's that like, we have to be here, but the leadership doesn't have to be here. They either think they're above this or this is just lip service. So as we talked about at the very beginning of this thing, leadership begins with leading of self, setting the example. Because communication, most of it is nonverbal. So it's like, we're all little kids still. We're oversized kids now. And so I think about this, I'm touching a stove. Don't touch the stove, Julian. Don't touch the stove. Both my parents said that. And what did I do when I could sneak away? I touched the stove. But you know what I didn't do the second time? I've never touched a hot stove willingly since then. And this is kind of how it is as at the job. You can tell us a lot of things, but how are you moving? How are you acting? What are you doing on your day-by-day basis to lead this by example? Because the company, the organization is going to ultimately take the pulse of the leadership. So if the leadership's not there, this is not important, no matter what you do. And so that's why you see a lot of these well-being initiatives often fall short and just burn cash because it's incongruent. There's no cohesiveness to it. So the very first thing is for the leadership team to actually be a willing participant in the initiatives to work. And even more so, make it a collaborative effort. Because a lot of times we want to shoehorn certain policies, certain initiatives into an organization, but we don't know necessarily what this organization, what these specific people need. So therefore, in this case, let's go out and talk to them. What are some things that could maybe, what are you struggling with? Or what are some things you're interested in? Because there's different types of wellness now. There's not just a physical wellness. There's plenty of companies that give the exercise stipends and maybe a group fitness instructor, maybe a yoga class. Plenty of people do that. But we have to think about our mental health, our emotional health. And even now, so there's a financial wellness as well. So wellness is a very much more comprehensive picture. And also, when we're building a culture of wellness, is we use this in the individual world of a longevity mindset, thinking long term. But you can also do this, of course, in the business world. Companies oftentimes have, they're thinking decades out with a lot of their initiatives. And we can do this with the culture of wellness. So maybe for the first year, let's just set the foundation. Let's work on just creating a really solid foundation, even if it's just something very basic. Because now you're making it a habit, you're making it a routine, and then you can start adding things on top of that. You know, I wrote an article recently that was talking about this, and it was an article describing why a lot of wellness initiatives are falling short and some research on it. And they were talking about like using apps and all these things, and they weren't working. And the reason why was because they were forgetting basic things like what kind of autonomy does your workers have? The compensation, all these basic parameters, how's the work environment? These are very basic things that can create the foundation. And then all this other stuff can come on there and accelerate your culture.
This is all great. And being in HR for 30 plus years, I've definitely seen my fair share of wellness initiatives that didn't go well. And I think you've hit the nail on the head with, you know, making sure that the leaders are part of it and they're visible, but really being collaborative. You can find out so much just by asking the people around you and in the organization, what do you think? What do you need? How can we get this done? Instead of trying to come up with the answers on your own or do a one size fits all approach. So,
Yeah, and I think that's because, and this is also another thing when we're talking about leadership here, is that when you can get someone involved and they feel as part of the mission, and you're further solidifying the buy-in. And you know, if when you're trying to lead and steer a team in a certain direction, the stronger the buy-in, the more commitment, the better the result. Probably the quicker you're going to get there as well. And this is just another example of that, of getting input for them, letting them feel that, hey, I'm more than just an employee here. I'm more than just coming here just to get a salary and then go home. But no, I have an actual say and in the direction of where some of these projects are going.
yeah, that's great. Yeah, definitely the collaboration and that whole built to last mindset, the longevity mindset is key. Following up on something that you touched on a little bit is technology. Good business practices to try to leverage technology wherever possible. What role can technology play in monitoring and improving overall health and performance, not only individually, but at the team and organization level?
Yeah, and this is no surprise, but the first one is accountability, because we need that. But companies love data. Business people love data. There's nothing more they love than data and KPIs and all these things. And the thing you have with technology is you have those things, and especially when it comes to wellness in an organizational sense, because it's easier when you're saying, we're going to come in, we're going to have a sales consultant come in, and we're going to talk about sales, and then we're going to improve these numbers. That's easy to conceptualize. But when you're talking even soft skills like emotional intelligence and even some things with wellness, that's a little harder to conceptualize because odds are you're not just going to say, we're just going to keep up with the whole weight loss of the company for the next 12 weeks. Maybe some people do that. Probably not, though, because there's a lot of different issues with that. since some people are more sensitive than others. So it's a little harder on a massive scale when you're just saying, hey, let's just look at weight, because people can complain and all sorts of things. And that's a paradox for probably legal stuff. Now, you can look at maybe something as steps, entire an organization, or you can look at something as, since we started this particular initiative, maybe for the last 12 months, what has our, you can look at maybe sick days. What does that look like? Premiums. How much have we spent? And people have to have claims, injuries, those type of things. Because now you're combining the bottom line, which every business person loves, but you're also incorporating health. So you're not trying to shoehorn how we typically think about health from an individual, since we're fitting it into our current ecosystem and business and making it work that way. And once again, when you have the less friction that you're going to have, the easier it is to continually evolve and continually to do it. So I think that's a great one. There's different types of tools and softwares as well, but this is the accountability piece. This is also a way for you to finally measure if these wellness initiatives are working. That's just one thing. And I think also with technology, there's no biases. There's no, I feel this, I feel that. Data is just data and how you interpret it. Now, hopefully people don't just try to perform some mental gymnastics with the data, but for the most part, data has no biases. And the thing with all this is that you keep it top of mind, because it's so easy. We have so many things go through our email inboxes every day, so many conversations that we have every day. But what if we just have, I say this with the wearables that we have now, the watches, the rings, all those things. It's essentially a mini checkup that you can have every day. It's not a thorough checkup, but it is a mini checkup. It's something to keep you top of mind. Some of us like these tools because we can gamify it a little bit, or we can get really competitive. We can join groups and be in competition with each other. But whatever keeps it top of mind, that you're thinking, okay, well, I need to get some steps in today. Why don't I do a walking meeting today? This call here, we're just checking in. So this 30 minutes, I can actually get my walk in and still take care of business. So that's another example of going back to what we talked about earlier. This is how you're marrying these two areas together. Instead of having these two butt heads, which oftentimes happens, how can I integrate business, career is very important to me. How can I integrate health into that? And so that's just a couple of reasons right there.
Yeah, no, great. Thank you. This has all been wonderful. Before we wrap up this episode, what additional or final advice or thoughts or maybe a call to action do you have for our audience?
Oh, man, I think it's slow down to speed up. Yeah, slow down to speed up. And what I mean by that is we probably want to get to the destination like today. And I'm right there with you. But I've learned to do preliminary work, as I call it. The better I strategize or at least come up with an initial plan, the more auditing I do initially, say even for my health, the better plan I can create initially, the better hypothesis I can create, meaning, and then the faster I can execute, because I don't have to start and stop because I have a thorough plan. Now, of course, you'll have to reiterate at some point, but nevertheless, I'm able to go faster when I slow down at the beginning and really get a few things in line and then go, instead of just randomly starting and doing things.
Well, Julian, thank you so much for making time in your schedule to talk with me today and our audience. If anybody's interested in learning more from you, where can we point them to?
Yeah, you can just go to executivehealth.io and there will be a handful of resources there. There's a free report there and there's articles. There's all sorts of things.
Sounds good. I'll put some information in the show notes about that for everybody so they can access it quickly and easily. In closing, I'd like to take a moment and thank our listeners. We wish you the best of luck as you move forward on your leadership journey. Please check back regularly for additional episodes.